Good morning, everybody. Welcome to February the 13th, the day before Valentine's Day. We're here today. We're going to be talking in John chapter 12. And I want to thank you for joining me. That's the big thing. I want to thank you for joining me. Yes, we do need financial help, but you guys know what to do. I will put it in the description. I will put it in how to give into this ministry, how to order my books. You go to tomandsarahministries@gmail.com. I have the wristbands for sale. You've seen them. They're $1 each. Email me, tell me how many you want, and we'll do the PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, etc., however you want to do it. There's a couple of books other than mine, SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God, and also From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. Other than those books, you can order those from me. They're $20, which includes shipping, and that's sent to your house. You can get them on Amazon.com. You can get them from BarnesandNoble.com and Walmart.com, etc. But in a couple books I want you to get, I want you to really, really get. And that's one of them is called Experiencing the Depths of Jesus Christ. Now, Madame Guyon, she wrote this book years ago. And I want to say the late 1700s. And tremendous book. It's just, I'm looking for the date. Yeah, the latter part of the 17th century. So actually the 1600s, she wrote this book, and it applies today. And a lot of things she said, this is written for the simple, but even today, people who have been born again for many years, including myself, I have gotten so much out of this book. Another book you want to get, I have been starting to read a book by Jim Edwards. It's actually books. He's a Bible translator, and he translates the Bible into a language for today. I'm reading Living and Breathing Hebrews to Jude. And so I was reading the Psalms that he had done, powerful. I want you to get those books. I think you can get them on Amazon. But so we'll continue on with some of that a little later. We do have financial needs. You know about them. So go ahead and give into this. We're kind of on a ticking clock right now. I need to raise $400 by the end of the week. And if you can help out with that, tomandsarahministries@gmail.com will get you there. All right, so we're on John chapter 12, and I'm going to start with verse 34 today. People from the crowd spoke up and said, "Die? How could the Anointed One die?" Now, Jesus was talking about, if I am lifted up, all right? And he was talking about his death and about being glorified when he's lifted up from the ground. He was signifying what kind of death he was going to die. And they said, "Die? How could the Anointed One die?" He also said that unless a grain of wheat dies, it cannot bear fruit. So he said, "Die? How could the Anointed One die? The Word of God says that the Anointed One will live with us forever." Okay, there's a number of scriptures that talk about the government, of his government, there will be no end. The kingdom from the line of David will be forever. Okay, it's talking about that. That's Psalm 89, Isaiah 7, Ezekiel 37, and Daniel 7. Talks about the Messiah or the Anointed One living forever. So how could the Anointed One die? Well, the Word of God says that. And who is this? But you just said the Son of Man must be lifted up from the earth. And again, he was signifying his reference to the cross. And who is this Son of Man anyway? Now, Daniel talked about the Son of Man, and that was the God. He's talking about God there. And then Jesus replied in verse 35, "You will have the light shining with you for only a little while longer." He didn't even respond to this directly. while you still have me, walk in the light. John, 1 John chapter 1 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. All right? So we walk in the light so that the darkness does not overtake you. For when you walk in the dark, you have no idea where you're going. Right? If you don't have Jesus in your life, you really are just doing motions to get through life. So he says in verse 36, so believe and cling to the light while I am with you, so that you will become children of the light. In John chapter 1, he says that he was the light, and in him was no darkness at all. John calls him the light. Jesus called him the light. And I think John called him the light because of this interaction he's having with the people. And after saying this, Jesus then entered the crowd and hid himself from them. I don't know how he did it, but he just disappears, you know, in front of them. And even with the overwhelming evidence in verse 37 of all the many signs and wonders that Jesus performed in front of them, his critics still refused to believe. We have that today, don't we, in our society. Even if somebody proves themselves one way, they still want to believe the other. All right, whether they're politicians, athletes, musicians, whatever. We want to believe. I mean, I'm not going to do it. I was going to go somewhere with that, and I'm not going to do it. Get too many people mad at you. His critics refused to believe. And the thing is that your critics will refuse to believe any changes that happen in you. people will just not want to believe because they want to believe the worst in you. But God believes the best in you. Remember, we talked about it before, how Judas was the man with the money box, and he was also a thief. Well, Jesus wasn't naive, but he believed the best in Judas. I have a frog in my throat. My goodness. So they still refused. His critics still refused, even though they had seen the miracles, the signs, and wonders. Remember, Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. If you believe, the signs will follow you. They just do. And that's why, because, and here's the thing, God gets stirred up by faith. Faith stirs the heart of God. Remember, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Now, I think he saw the woman with the issue of blood outside of the door when Jairus came in and said, hey, you know, Master, my daughter is dying. I think that's in Luke. And this woman was outside in the crowd, and then she just said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. All right? Jesus was walking past her. Now remember, he only did what he saw the Father do. So God was not healing this woman at that moment. But then, stirred by her faith, she gets healed. Let it be done to you as you believed it would be. Remember the man coming through the roof. The Bible says, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the one, your sins are forgiven. He gets healed seeing their faith. Faith is the thing that stirs the heart of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the opposite is true. With faith, you please God. You stir his heart. You must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, believing isn't a mental assent. It's a heart conviction. I believe this. All right, my testimony, nobody can take my testimony away from me. It's my testimony. They can never refute my testimony because it happened to me. I know it did. I know what happened to me day by day. I know what happens. It's my testimony. You don't have to pay me to say my testimony. You don't have to pay me to lift Jesus up with my testimony. So these signs and wonders are performed. And he says, I'm doing these so you'll glorify the Father. And you'll believe what I say and that I come from the Father. But they didn't do that. And he says in verse 38, this fulfilled the prophecy given by Isaiah, Isaiah 53:1. Says, who has believed our report? Okay, in the Passion he says, who has believed our message? Who has seen the unveiling of your great power? And the people were not able to believe, for Isaiah also prophesied, okay, God has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts to the truth. So with their eyes and hearts are closed, they cannot understand the truth, nor turn to me so that I can instantly cleanse them and heal them. Let's go to Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verse 10. Isaiah is talking here hundreds of years prior to Jesus. Says, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. So reading it from the opposite, even though the heart of this people is dull and their ears are heavy and their eyes are shut, if they open their eyes or hear with their ears, they will understand with their heart and return and be healed. Now, in Romans, he says, faith comes by hearing. Well, how does hearing come? Hearing comes by the word of God. So if you want to build up your faith, you need to read the word of God out loud. All right, not just in your mind, but in your vocally. All right, whether you record it on your cell phone and play it while you're sleeping, or we have a guy by the on SoakStream that has, you know, he has a number of them, I am affirmations, healing scriptures, whatever, and he just reads those out loud for 8 hours. You can put it on while you're sleeping, and it gets into your soul. Remember, your spirit never sleeps. Now, Isaiah said these things in verse 41 because he had seen and experienced the splendor of Jesus and prophesied about him. Okay? In Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 5, tremendous scripture, he had seen God in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, King Uzziah died of leprosy, okay? And in that year, that marked it, that was something significant. Isaiah said, I clearly saw the Lord. He's high and lifted up, and the robe, the train of his robe filled the temple. And so he actually saw God, and he saw the Lord. And he saw the four living creatures, which are also mentioned in Revelation 4. And then he felt he was undone. He says, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst people of unclean lips. Okay? And then so there's Isaiah, undone, messed up emotionally. You know, he just, you know, and here's the thing. He's the vocal cords of God at the time. And he said, my lips are unclean and I live amongst people of unclean lips. So here's Isaiah. And then the angel comes, takes a coal from the altar that was burning and puts it on his lips and says, you are now clean. Here's the message I want you to say. All right. The Lord is saying first, who shall we send? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Well, here's the message. And then so that's when he comes out with this, you know, that God is blinding their eyes. And then so he prophesied about him. And yet there were many Jewish leaders who believed in Jesus, but because of the fear of the Pharisees, they kept it secret so they wouldn't be ostracized by the assembly of the Jews. For they loved the glory of men that men could give them rather than the glory that came from God. We have to stay away from the fear of man and getting the pats on the back from man. We have to steer clear of that. God is not going to share his glory with anybody. If you want to believe in Jesus, if you want to believe Jesus and let man go astray. Let man go by the wayside. I've done that many, many times. I kept my thoughts to myself. I kept my disagreements with some things that were preached to myself because I was looking for a position. These people are looking for a position. It's better to be promoted by God than it would be to be promoted by man. Stay away from that. It's a trap. It's a danger. And when you finally get that sense of the Holy Spirit, when you finally get to meet Holy Spirit, not just as a feeling, but as a person, you know, God will lift you up, man. God, you can't, you know, God will not let you go unseen. All you have to do is say, "Here am I, send me." And then that's what it is. A lot of times we look for the glory of men. We look for the pat on the back. All right? I did, and it's a trap. Okay? So Jesus, in verse 44, shouted out passionately, "To believe in me is also to believe in God who sent me. For when you look at me, you are seeing the one who sent me. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who trust in me will no longer wander in darkness. And if you hear my words and refuse to follow them, I do not judge you. For I didn't come to judge you, but to save you. And if you reject me and refuse to follow my words, you're already judged. And the message of truth I have given you will rise up to judge you in the day of judgment, or that last day. For I am not speaking as someone who is self-appointed, but I speak by the authority of the Father himself who sent me and who instructed me what to say. And I know that the Father's commands result in eternal life. And that's why I speak the very words I've heard him speak." He represents the words. And here's the thing. You're not God. Jesus didn't come to judge. Okay, a lot of people say, "Oh, he's a judge." No. Not believing in him will be your judge. The words. He says that the message of truth I have given you will rise up to judge you. That's why when you preach, when you share, when you say something, it must be from the heart of God. Because if it's truth, if you're speaking truth, then what happens is that if somebody doesn't believe truth, those words will come. They can never say, "Nobody told me." Romans 1:20 says, the attributes of God are clearly seen, being understood through creation or what was made, so that they are without excuse. People are without excuse if you share the truth. Whether they believe you or not does not make it untrue. Just because people preach a lie and thousands of people believe that lie, it doesn't make it any more true. And because you speak the truth and nobody believes it, doesn't make it any less true. That's why you must speak the word of God. I believe that we're coming into a revival season of the word of God. People are going to start loving the word of God like never before. They're going to start coming after God and seeing God and going after him and like never before. We're coming back to a revival where people are going to come to the word of God. People are going to come to the word of God and they are going to look at the word of God and they're going to start reading it again passionately. Passionately. And so when you look at this, you have to see that God is starting to do a major, major, major thing. When you start reading the word and getting it into you, your life changes. If you are a believer, you have already the mind of Christ. Romans 12, be renewed in your mind. Be transformed in your mind. In fact, I want to read that, okay? Romans 12. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you, I beseech you, I tell you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights in his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship, not the singing and the goosebumps. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Change the way you think. Because what you think is what you say, and that's the world that you create, because death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you're going to live by its fruit. That's why you speak the truth. But you speak the truth with the love of God, for somebody else's edification. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in all aspects of him who is the head, Jesus Christ. He is the head. Remember, the Bible says in Isaiah 9, that the government will be upon his shoulders. He is the head, we are the shoulders, and he is the head on the shoulders. His government will be on his shoulders. We are his shoulders. All right, well, that's it. Anyway, that's going to be the lesson for today. Remember, I'm just giving you, I'm just giving you something to whet your thirst so you can go after these things. Read the Bible. Study it. Pray it. Meditate on it. All right. Thank you for joining me today. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Remember, TomAndSarahMinistries@gmail.com. I will put the ways to give in the description, and you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, Tom and Sarah. You can subscribe to my podcast, Tom and Sarah Abounding Hope. Share, like, comment on these videos as well, and just watch what God does. Watch what God does. God's about ready to do something powerful. And we have to be the ones that get into it. We have to be the ones that bring it. Get the word into your heart. Buy my books. You can get them on Amazon.com, Walmart.com, BarnesandNoble.com. And pray. Ask God how much you are to give into this ministry. I don't want your tithe, but ask the Lord how much you should give into this ministry, and then obey what he says. All right. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.